with the tripod started panning down until Carrie was in the frame. And then when it got to Carrie in the frame, she said, "I believe in traditional marriage." By the way, Carrie was sitting the fuck next to me in class.
Hello. Welcome back to Under Our Roof.
We have our microphones back.
Yay.
It's not a voicemail. We're professional podcasters here at work.
Yes, we are. It feels kind of like weird to record, though. We haven't recorded like this in a little while.
Yes.
And do you feel, I feel this way, that I just want to say up front, I've been feeling this way, but I haven't really said anything about it.
Uh-oh.
But do you feel like it is increasingly, like, feels weird and pointless to put things out there in the world when, like, things are really hard in the world?
You mean, like, that putting out a podcast about our lives,
yeah,
just feels like what are we doing, like our silly lives?
Yeah. And here we are. I mean we're still gonna make our podcast right now, I guess, but yeah, I feel like watching like campus protests this mm-hmm. week and feeling like really proud of people that are like putting it all on the line and feeling like in a very different place myself, mm-hmm. like at home with a 4-month-old baby, like that I can't do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes feeling like I can't really do anything. And then I'm like, well, why am I making this podcast? But then it's like, mm-hmm. or why I have been like very not wanting, ever since we got back from our North Carolina trip, I like haven't really been posting anything. Like, I don't know. It's just been kind of a weird vibe, for lack of a better word.
Do you feel sometimes when we're protesting a genocide that it's like, what, why do I want to share my dinner?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. We've certainly talked about this off the pod of just feeling increasingly, the word that's coming to my mind is disappointed, and that is not severe enough. It's like what, it's like almost despondent of just feeling like, Just last night, I felt like I was spiraling with you of just like, what the hell is happening?
My memory is so shot because
it was last night. That's when we looked up how old Joe Biden is.
Yeah. I'm so
That was definitely last night.
I am so sleep deprived. My baby is not sleeping that well right now. And so I've noticed that my memory is really bad. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't remember things that happen or what day things happened. So I believe you that we talked about that, but I literally don't remember.
I think the hope for this specific podcast when we created it was a brief window into the sunnier parts of our lives.
Yeah.
Which is to say, if you've listened to any of my music, I'm not always a sunny person, but for whatever reason, I think we decided, social media is curated and this podcast is on a social media app, and it is curated. We don't share with you some of the more private conversations that we have. We invite you into more vulnerable conversations than I would put out on like TikTok or mm-hmm. Instagram or anything. But it still is like, we still wanted for this podcast to feel cozy and queer and homey and just like a, I don't know, just checking in with our little lives, which do feel often we are angry and confused, but then also so happy with Francis.
I know.
And happy with the beautiful dinner you made tonight. Like, all things are true at once. And I think that holding that is where we presently find ourselves this night.
Yeah, I guess I haven't really talked to you about that. Did I derail us too much by bringing it up?
I'm happy you brought it up.
Yeah. I can kind of think of a segue into what we were going to talk about.
Okay.
So I feel like we just randomly kind of spoke on a few things that we don't often, which is like, we don't often talk about the state of the world on this podcast because it is just like mm-hmm. what's going on under our roof, not what's going on in the world.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know those children's shows?
What's the children's shows?
Well, you know, there's like in Blue's Clues, whatever, like you could watch an episode of Blue's Clues and you'd be like, was this pre or post 9/11? You have no idea.
Yeah, that's kind of our podcast. And I think
the idea with Under Our Roof is like, we don't know, we're just under our roof. We're just making some dinners and talking about the baby.
Yeah.
But obviously, we are not Blue's Clues and we live in the world and we're experiencing it and it's heartbreaking what's happening. But it's also very heartening to see the resilience and the determination of college students, specifically on these campuses across the country.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is, like, please, in hearing us briefly touch on this, don't ascribe something that we're not saying or read between the lines to, like, something that make us say something that we're not saying. And that segues into kind of what we're going to talk about.
Oh.
Because.
Oh, I see where
we're
going
to talk about, yeah, more like song lyrics, so very lighthearted, but just the idea of when you interpret someone else's art, mm-hmm, or maybe just what they're saying, but often like art or song lyrics or poetry, I guess, that you like, or just our thoughts on whether you can kind of assign meaning that the person, that the artist did not intend. I know that sounds really high level, but we're going to get into some specific things. It's just a topic that's come up recently. Mm-hmm. And I sent you a TikTok. Did you watch it?
I was wondering if we should play it on the podcast.
I feel like it really encompassed a lot of what I've been thinking recently in terms of, like, you say something and you feel like you have to give a million caveats of, like, don't worry, I don't mean this. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about these people. I feel like I have gotten really tired of doing that. And I'm the biggest culprit of doing that on the, mm-hmm, podcast. I'm always giving caveats of, like, now don't take it this way. And if you're feeling this way, I'm not talking about you. And I'm, like, sick of saying that because I feel like something should go without saying.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you to a point.
Okay.
So, I always think it's better to use an overabundance of caution to just make sure that as many people as possible feel understood. But I also think that they're on the other side of that. That's how I feel as the person expressing an idea. But on, mm-hmm, the other side of that, I hope that there would be grace from the recipient of my message. Because I'm thinking of myself as a songwriter.
Yeah.
That if they're like, I wonder if that's like what Semler meant, that there could be some grace of nuance. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to do my best to make it clear and to clarify should I need, and to adjust should I need as language changes and develops in my own understanding. Because I've done that before. I'll talk about that in a song. But anyway, I've changed lyrics before because of my own ignorance that I became aware of. And I have been appreciative when that's happened, which has only been once so far, that there has been grace on the other side of that, of like, oh, thank you for clarifying. And rather than jumping to the worst possible, mm-hmm, conclusion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, do you want to play the video?
Let's play it.
A very interesting thing about this cultural and societal moment we're in, where we're realizing that people don't have reading comprehension skills, like very basic reading comprehension skills, is that people forget part of reading comprehension is being able to infer the intended audience of a piece of text without the author telling you directly. Did you know that you're supposed to be able to do that? You're supposed to be able to engage with a piece of text and say, I think the intended audience is blank. You are not supposed to need clarifications at the beginning of a text saying, now obviously I'm not talking about A, B, C, and D. You're supposed to be able to figure that out on your own, right? And so when you request those clarifications of saying, now make sure you say you're not talking about X, Y, and Z group, you lack reading comprehension skills. Does that make sense? Like, that's a skill you're supposed to have, and it seems like most people don't, and that goes hand in hand with reading comprehension.
Interesting. Was that about Taylor Swift?
I don't know.
Oh, it was just so, because I was listening to that and I was like, is reading comprehension like reading lyrics or is it reading a book?
I feel like that person means, well, now I'm inferring something about what they're saying, but I feel like that statement can be taken broadly to mean, not even though they did literally say text, mm-hmm, I took it to mean just media in general.
Who was the audience for that TikTok?
I think that's just the general population, mm-hmm, can be the
audience. You agree with this sentiment?
Yeah, I do. I feel like recently I don't know, it's just been kind of buzzing in my head that I do feel like a lot of times people make art or make a statement or make a podcast or whatever. I'm not subtweeting anyone or thinking about myself here. I'm thinking just about people I see making art in the world and putting things out in the world, that they put things out and then it's always like scrutinized in a way that is not what they intended.
This came up with us around the house when I was folding laundry the other day, and I told you that I saw some discourse, the dreaded discourse. I love discourse at times, but sometimes it happens at you. And I didn't know that there was discourse around this song that I love by Chapel Roan. Please go listen to Chapel Roan's album.
I'm sure a lot of people have heard the new song.
It's so good. It's called Good Luck, Babe. And I believe it's her first entry into the Billboard Hot 100. It's an amazing tune.
And do not put it in this episode, why? Grace. Because it's not ours.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's Miss Roan's.
When you wake up next to him. Okay, just please listen to her do it. It's a great song. Can I put it in the background a little bit?
No.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to get a copyright
strike. Okay, but
Grace,
I hope you go and look it up.
Yeah, that'll
encourage. Can we put a link in the show notes?
Sure.
Please go listen to the song.
Yes, we can put a link in the show notes.
I saw a TikTok that was saying that... That was just saying that the song was biphobic, and this was a bisexual person saying that. And their Haley said something the other day that it was something like interpretation, basically like everyone, I just don't want to invalidate that the bisexual person who made that TikTok being like, I experience this as a biphobic song. I don't want to be like, well, you're wrong to feel that way. Like if that's how they felt, then that is how they felt. And also, I don't hear biphobia in that song from Chapel Roan. I'm not bisexual, so it is possible that I'm incorrect. It's very possible. I'm almost always incorrect. I'm incorrect a lot. But I think that's how we started talking about this, because I was quite surprised to see that person's TikTok is like, this song is, to me, was biphobic. And about basically like when bisexual people end up with a husband, because there's a line in the bridge, like when you wake up next to him in the middle of the night with your, man, I get the lyrics wrong. So with your head and your hands, you're nothing more than his wife, something like that. And the person was saying, you know, when a bisexual person marries a man, they're not unfulfilled in their marriage. Great. Very true. Very true statement. And also, I just don't think that Chapel Roan was talking about that.
I know. That's where I'm at. I agree that somebody could hear that song and feel a certain way, but my sentiment is, I feel like you can take a song and construe it to fit your experience, to be like, listen, I know the artist didn't write it about how it feels. I know the artist didn't write this breakup song about a friend breakup, for instance, mm-hmm. but it fits my friend breakup. It fits my friend breakup perfectly, even though the artist wrote it about a romantic breakup. That's something where you can be like, and I'm claiming this song as like my friend breakup song, even though it's not technically about that. But I feel like you can't take it the other way and be like, I know this artist didn't write this song to invalidate my marriage, mm-hmm. but I feel like it does. And so I'm claiming it like in the negative as right. like it's invalidating my marriage.
Now, it would be one thing. Mm-hmm. Do you remember, did you ever have this song come on your FYP? It was a real hellscape of a song. I can say that this song was bad.
Okay.
It was a song that was like, it was like, hey, mom, I can't do this. Do you know what I'm going to say?
No.
It was like, so dumb. Hey, mom, I like boys too.
Oh yeah,
I'm not.
Yeah.
It's some, and the lyric was something like, "I'm not a total fucking lesbo," but yeah. like the I like yeah. it was basically being like it was actually like a pretty crazy lyric.
I remember
where it's like I that you have to be real generous in your interpretation to be like, lesbo isn't derogatory in that context. So yeah, I think great art will mm-hmm. be open to interpretation and people will assign different meanings to it. And that's why I think that the person who made the TikTok are like, I felt this song was biphobic is valid in their interpretation of it. And also we have to hold a lot of things at once. You can be like, I don't like that song. It reads to me as biphobic. But also hold space for the fact that no one should convince you to like the song, but hold space for the fact that Chapel Roan wasn't like, I'm really going to get the buys with this one. like you can be like, I don't like the lyric choice that Chapel Roan made. And also it's not Chapel Roan being biphobic.
you can be like, that's not my taste. That hits me wrong based on my experience.
Yeah.
But the author wasn't sitting there being like, we're going to get these buys.
I know.
Bye, guys. Bye.
I think I am circling down the drain, so to speak, back around to the conclusion that we reach in every single episode of this podcast, which is like, well, it depends. And
what do we know?
What do we know? And, you know, in certain situations, then this thing could be true. And in other situations, this other thing could be true. Because I can't think of a good example because, again, I kind of feel drunk. I've had no alcohol, but I have had no sleep also. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of a good example, but I feel like, I feel like there are instances where a line, a lyric, a quote, whatever medium is so easily construed in a really bad way, even if the speaker or the artist had a pure intention. It's like, come on, like that's such a bad soundbite though. Like you got to be careful.
Right.
That's different. And again, I can't think of an example. But yeah, I think the Chapel Roan one is like kind of a really good like textbook example of like, she didn't mean it to be biphobic. Like she really didn't. And I just don't think you can hold people responsible for an interpretation that you have. Like, I think you can celebrate when a song or any piece of art fits your life, even if it in a positive way of like, this is my anthem. I know it's mm-hmm. not what the artist intended, but like the lyrics are uncanny. They fit my situation perfectly, but you can't hold them responsible in the negative sense. It's
right.
Like, okay, sorry that it, you know, feels that way to you, but like they can't anticipate every single possible interpretation in the negative.
Sure. Especially when it's about a feeling, when it's not like a specific thing. So I've thought of two examples as you've been speaking that I think are about interpretation in an interesting way.
Okay.
One that I learned from you, I remember, and I've changed my tune a little bit on this, and maybe you have as well.
Hmm.
When the song Born This Way by Lady Gaga came out, and I loved that song. And I was like, I think the song is great. And we were early days dating.
Mm-hmm.
And we both, I want to make it very clear, we are little monsters. We love Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah,
we love Lady Gaga in this household. Chromatica got us through those early days of lockdown, for sure. And I said, I love Born This Way. And you said, you know, I don't really love that expression because I don't think saying Born This Way makes it seem like it's another sort of excuse. That's how you explained it to me.
Yeah.
And you weren't saying anything negative about the song, but you were like, to me, there's something about that expression, like, but like, I'm just born this way, that still is qualifying queerness in a way that I think for you weren't totally comfortable with at the time.
Yeah. This was like 2013 or so, like around when we met. And I felt like when I was in college, there was this shift towards like sort of more queer acceptance. Now that seems to definitely be picking up speed, not always, sadly. Of course, there's progress backwards in many places, but yeah, overall, like as far as visibility and discourse online, more and more acceptance throughout my lifetime is what I have seen, which
and
is
Born
great.
This Way was a huge
and Born, yes,
song.
Born
it
this
was
way
like
was a
very
huge
controversial
song, before that song came out. I would always get like irritated when I heard people talk about, you know, oh, well, gay people are born that way, so like, you know, they can't
help it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Whenever the phrase would be born this way, like, well, you're just born that way, it's not a choice, you're born that way, it was like, well, what if it is, like, if it is a choice, it's just as valid.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I like necessarily think of being queer as a choice. I do feel like it's innate for me, but saying born this way, it's like, it's implying that you wouldn't choose it because mm-hmm. it's not as good as not being queer.
They can't help it.
Yeah, they can't help it. So I think the song is super catchy, and at no point did I ever think or say Lady Gaga has like so much internalized homophobia that she would write the lyric Born This Way.
Mm-hmm.
I just was saying that I don't particularly care for the phrase, like the catchphrase that people use, oh, that they're just born that way.
Mm-hmm.
It rubs me the wrong way. But the song is fine. And I do think the song does more good than harm.
Absolutely. I also think it's aged
pretty well. I haven't listened to it in a while, but I think that it was like between Born This Way and honestly, what was Same Love by Macklemore. Oh, yeah. Like those were songs coming out around the same mm-hmm. time. And if it was a pick your poison, like I wanted to listen to Born This Way because pick your poison's maybe a bad expression. All that, pick your juice, pick your gay juice, your gay song to listen to. I mean, I don't know if I've shared this story before on the podcast, but I remember in North Carolina at Elon, I was the only like out queer person in this class. It was like a media class or something. I've told you this before.
Yeah.
And we had to give, man, I love this ally. I love this ally. They're not listening, but like, I love you. I don't know where she is. I hope she's doing well. But it was like during the Chick-fil-A debates and like Mitt Romney. And it was like, it was kind of a crazy time to be like openly gay in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And I think our teacher like asked us to like make a political statement. It's why do teachers, they should do that.
I honestly don't think they do it anymore.
I don't think they do it anymore, but it used to be way more commonplace of like, tell us your hottest political take in front of the class and defend it. And this one girl got up and she just played the video for Same Love. And she was like, she was straight. She, as far as I know, yeah. I can't even remember her name. I can remember her face and I can remember vividly where I was sitting when this happened because she was like, hey guys, what I want to share with you all today is this song, and I want you all to like really listen to the lyrics. And I'd never heard Same Love before. Opening lyric, when I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay. The whole class, you could hear their necks. Like, you could hear them turn to look at me. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, yep. It was, and we just, wow. And that's a long song. Can it I just say that really about Same Love? It is so much song. Longer than you're thinking of.
Well, you did it in karaoke.
I did it at karaoke. I thought I did it at karaoke as like a funny bit. And then the song so keeps long. Going. There's like three choruses and a down chorus. That's like four choruses, which is the best part. And then Macklemore talks a lot. And he actually says, some crazy shit in that song. I know. Like, I think he drops the F slur.
Really?
I think he does.
I gotta look
He
up
says
these
something
lyrics.
Like, he. I think he drops a slur, but he uses it in like, that's what you say behind a message board or something. I don't know. I don't know how he performs that song today. But intent over impact, I guess, or no, it doesn't matter.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of like a cousin conversation of the conversation we're having is like whether it is intent.
Was Same Love a net good? I think yes.
I think yeah.
I think it was.
I mean, it's we can kind of laugh at it now, but isn't that beautiful that like,
yeah,
it's
honestly,
you know,
yeah. Look at how far we've come. If this song were released today, it would be cringecore.
Yeah. But it was like,
but
people
at the
were
time,
crying.
No, that's what I'm saying. The girl that got up in class and showed the song to the class mm-hmm. was like, this is real. I mean, it was crazy shit was happening. People were bringing Chick-fil-A bags to class as like a sign of aggression.
Yes.
Like they would bring their Chick-fil-A and like make eye contact with queer kids. And it was that people had to be like, don't bring, like, Chick-fil-A is not a like a sign of aggression or like, because people would bring it to like start shit in class. Like people would start arguing.
Yeah, this was a big thing on our campus when we were in college. Like
so
the
dumb.
Certain groups, including like the queer student group, wanted to ban Chick-fil-A from campus because of their support for all kinds of anti-queer organizations and religious groups. And there was like a strong opposition to people that were like,
and a dumb opposition.
Yeah.
People that just made chicken sandwiches, their whole person. It was like something from Glee.
Yes,
and
it was.
I will never forget the people, because the weird thing about it was like, there weren't a lot of openly gay people on campus, at least in my friend group, because
there was me.
There was you and there was me. And you had queer friends, but yeah. I didn't. Really, mm-hmm. I had myself and I, because I was super steeped in internalized homophobia. So I mostly hung out with straight people
yeah.
who wouldn't think about it until I would like go up. We'd like have a class together. And like, I remember, oh my gosh, this is flooding back to me. This one girl, I'm sure she would be mortified that I remember this story. But Carrie, and I'm not going to say your last name. I remember it. You remember this stuff. The same class that we had to give these presentations.
What a cursed space. A
cursed class where it was like, just say your hottest political take with a PowerPoint or a music video. And she filmed an infomercial about her political views. And her name is Carrie. And she
just whatever sorority stereotype you're imagining from like Legally Blonde, it is that. And she gave like an infomercial about her political views, mm-hmm. and one that I'll never forget because it must have been so wackadoodle goofy hours for her to get this shot, that there was a Chick-fil-A that was like on a highway, like, you know, North Carolina is not, it wasn't walkable. And she was standing. She was standing in, and she had to set up a tripod. She set up a tripod and like stood in the median of a highway and had one of her like doodle brain Legally Blonde friends. Like, so they started on filming on a, like a, on the sign that said Chick-fil-A. It was just the camera was there. And then they, with the tripod, started panning down until Carrie was in the frame. And then when it got to Carrie in the frame, she said, "I believe in traditional marriage." By the way, Carrie was sitting the fuck next to me in class. And it was so, and they chose that. There was a bunch of FIMU girls that would sit next to me because we were funny, because I'm a funny gay. That was, mm-hmm. that's how I coped at the time on campus. I'd be like, oh, I'm not like, oh, don't worry, I won't get offended. Like, I would let people just treat me like shit. Aww. Because I hated myself and I didn't know any better, which is very bad. And I don't recommend it as far as like a baby gay phase. Like, please don't do that to yourself. Please love yourself to be with people who love and respect you for who you are. But I didn't. And so I thought it was like cool by association that these FIMU girls thought I was funny. And so I sat there while the fucking I believe in traditional marriage, like dodo brain video infomercial from this girl. And it was a weird rest of class.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Oh, also I was going to use the example of Christian songs.
Yeah.
And how many of them I used to tell girls that I like them.
Oh, yeah. See, that's like using something in a different way than it was intended, but in a positive way. And I just feel like that's the only thing you can do. Mm-hmm. Again, if you are like, hey, I know that maybe your intent was this, but the impact is really bad, mm-hmm. then that's one thing. Well, I guess for my job and for kind of my life for the last decade, every word that I use does matter. I mean, that's something that some of the best legal writing advice I've ever gotten is like, make sure every sentence at least has a specific purpose. Like, mm-hmm. there should not be a sentence that's kind of just like hanging out, filler, or that's ambiguous. Mm-hmm. So in my speech, I'm definitely not as precise, but I do think a lot about words and what they mean. And I find myself having a little bit of a short fuse sometimes when I say one thing very clearly and someone is like, well, what about this?
Sure.
And I'm like, that is not what I said at all.
I think it comes down to you are very good at reading comprehension and you have that expectation for yourself and for others to a degree. And I am not. And I'm very much like, it could mean anything. Anything could mean anything. Mm-hmm. Like, let's explore. And so when people invite me to do the same, I'm very open and receptive to that. I can understand. I try to understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
An example of when I've changed a lyric is on an early draft of Thank God for That. I used the term Pharisee mm-hmm. instead of, I think, powerful.
Yeah, you changed it. And I changed it
because I received a note that was just instructing me that it's a pretty ignorant term for Christians to use that actually like breeds anti-Semitism mm-hmm. unwittingly, of course. I didn't intend for that at all.
Right. But you'd never heard that.
I'd never heard that before. It hadn't occurred to me. And I was very thankful for the note, and especially like it was very important for me to change the lyrics so that I wouldn't harm listeners.
Yeah.
And I also wouldn't perpetuate that belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an example of like that. It would have been irresponsible for me to receive that note, be like, that's just your interpretation.
Yeah, I think that's actually a perfect example of like a term actually having meaning that you weren't aware of. That's different than saying like, I'm talking about more, it's kind of like people use this example, this is very, very watered down, but something like, oh, I love pancakes. And it's like, oh, you hate waffles.
Right.
You know, and it's like, well, no, I didn't say anything about waffles, mm-hmm. but it'd be different if like, when you say, I love pancakes, it's like, hey, did you know that everyone is using like online discourse, the word pancakes actually means like this horrible thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my God, I need to clarify. Like, no, I did not mean that. That's right. different than the waffle. Like, you know, you say you love this one thing and then people are like, well, what about something else entirely? Mm-hmm. And I think it's one thing when people read into what you're saying, which honestly could be probably done 10 ways to Sunday with things I've said on this very podcast, and it probably will, because here's the other thing, like if you come to me and you're like, hey, I think this, I will come back to you and tell you what I think and correct you if I think you're wrong, but you can have a million ideas about me and things I say mm-hmm. privately that I'll never know, and that is great.
Something that you taught me recently was someone else's opinion of me might be none of my business.
And that's definitely not my idea or quote. It's attributed to many different people.
Lizzie came up with that. But, and we're putting that on flyers and we're going to sell it like merch, like Girl Defined.
I do agree with that though. Like, yeah, all of this being said, like anyone can take issue with anything someone else says. It's more when you like challenge someone on it. And then it's like, okay, well, I have my own interpretation. Or I have my own stance. I'm really not thinking of anything specific with this. It's more just like something I see other people deal with more than I actually deal with.
What I will say is exciting for me to end on is I am very excited when people interpret my songs in their own way.
Yeah.
When that is a sign to me that I've written a good one. When I can put a song out there and that someone can totally make it their own, it is the fulfillment of everything I love to do. It's one of my favorite pieces in the whole process. I love writing. I love recording. I don't love the current stage I'm at with the album, which is like the waiting for the mixing and the mastering and all the marketing. I like that the least. And what I love the most is getting to release music for y'all to interpret, to love, to hate, whatever, have opinions on. That is the most special thing. To make your memories to it, that is such an honor. And I'm incredibly thankful if I've been able to contribute to your life at all with my art, and you get to have your own unique experience that will be unknown to me. That's the coolest thing. It won't be as good as Chapel Roan's album, but really not much else is.
Yeah,
maybe Chromatica.
Well, I see some similarities between the two.
I do. I would love for them to collaborate.
That'd be amazing.
It would be.
Sky's the limit.
But not for us, because we got to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Sky's the limit, but we are fading.
Yeah.
Wish us luck. Francis woke up 3 times in the night last night.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for 2 tonight.
I would love one.
Okay.
So bad.
I would love one as well.
Oof. Well, she's already woken up once, technically.
That's true.
But
that's
a soft that
launch.
Count.
That's that a soft launch.
Yeah. It was a false start.
So we'll see you next week. Maybe. Hopefully. More well rested on the podcast that we call Under Our Roof.
Constant and new, no matter the change or the age, as we both.